praise, 'cause you're the name above all names. You're the name above all names. And Lord, we give you praise, for you're the name above all names. And you're Jesus. And you're the name above all names. And Lord, we give you our praise. You're the name above all names, the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you praise. We lift our hands and give you praise. We give you all of us today, 'cause you are Jesus. Hearts today for you, Jesus. Lord, we give you our praise. Oh, Lord, we give you our praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Today is an awesome day. And it's an awesome day because every day is an awesome day. Every day is an awesome day when you think about the alternative. See, we have gotten in our society to the point where we don't appreciate our days. One of the prophets said, "Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me to appreciate my days. Teach me to have every day be a day that I enjoy, that I increase, that I appreciate, that I maximize the day. Because today is the last day you're going to have today. Tomorrow may come or it may not come, but today's the only day you got." See, I have a bank account. And that money's in the bank, right? I have that money. And I have a job that I'm working that I might get more money. But I don't have that money yet. I have a job, but I don't have the money. And so that's how today is. Today is what you have in the bank. Today is what you have to enjoy. Your future is your job. It's what's going to happen somewhere down the road. But you can't enjoy what's going to happen later until you learn to appreciate today. Because the today was the tomorrow you was thinking about last week. Amen? Every payday that you say, "Man, I got to make it to the next payday." Well, guess what? This is the payday you was waiting on 2 weeks ago. Amen? You only got one today. Now, here's what we need to do with today. We're talking about wisdom. And I'm going to get to the point in a minute, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit just lead how we're going to do this. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." In your mouth is the power of life and death. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. The things you say are important. The things that come out of your mouth, they have value. And believe it or not, the things that come out of your mouth actually have the power to create life or to create death. That's why I don't want anybody in this church ever saying that they're dumb. You may be things you don't know, but you're not dumb. There may be things you're not exposed to, but you're not dumb. There may be information you rejected, but you're not dumb. You may be disobedient. You may not have been listening. You may not have wanted care or cared, but that doesn't mean you're dumb. But most of us grow up in an environment where we go to schools and schools say, if you don't know this, this, and that, then you're dumb. And so what do we begin doing? We start confessing, well, I'm not that smart. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. Whatever else you say. But we got to recognize life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those that love it will eat its fruit. In other words, you're going to eat what you produce with your own mouth. So I'll give you an example. This week I was at a conference, and there were a lot of things I was exposed to. And as I'm being exposed to those things, I'm having to consider what has been my hindrance from entering into certain things. So certain things I heard about or learned, I said, wow, okay. I know what they just said, but I haven't had the experience that they're experiencing. Why? Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. Keep your finger there. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Tell your neighbor today is a good day. We're going to Matthew 12. We're going to start at verse 35. Matthew 12, verse 35. I hope you kept your finger in Proverbs 18 because we're going to go back there. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Before by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So once again, we saw in the Old Testament, in Proverbs, the book of wisdom, that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Those that love it are going to eat its fruit. In the New Testament, we hear Jesus come back and say, listen, the tongue, your words. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart is going to bring forth good, but an evil man is going to bring forth evil out of the same heart. Your words are going to justify you, and the words are going to condemn you. The words that come out of your mouth, the words in your mouth are attached to the things that are in your heart. The words that are in your mouth are attached to the things that are in your heart. So it's our choice to take care of the heart so that what comes out of our mouth will build and not destroy. If you have destruction in your heart, not because you want to, but because it's been planted there, then destruction will come out of your mouth. See, understand this. You are the product of your wisdom to date. You understand what I'm saying? You are a product of the wisdom that you possess to date. So to date, wherever wisdom you've had is what is manifested in your life, because wisdom is manifested through faith and action, and what comes out of us becomes the display of the wisdom that's in us. So to understand it this way, if you were taught to save money and you actually followed through and did what you were taught, then the outcome would be that you'd have a reservoir of money. Why? Because there was some wisdom given. You used the wisdom. The product of your wisdom was a bank account that had money in it. You saved the money. That's wisdom, right? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's wisdom that's being given. Now, if we recognize that life and death is in the power of the tongue and we activate that wisdom, then I can begin saying things that will change what I look like tomorrow. I can begin declaring or saying things out of my mouth that will change what tomorrow looks like for me because I have life in my mouth. Tell your neighbor, watch this. Tell your neighbor, you look great today. Say it again. Tell them. Man, you look great today. Look around the room real fast. Look around the room real fast. What's happening? What's happening in the room right now? Why? Why are they smiling? Because life is in your tongue. Life is in your tongue, and if you speak life, you can change the atmosphere around you. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Do not take this lightly. This is a key to the kingdom of God. If you understand that life and death are in the power of your tongue, and you make the choice to use your tongue to build things, you will build things around you. Now, some things are bigger than others. And it might take more words to build it. Some things are light, easy. It's easy to make somebody smile by making them feel good about what they look like. That's easy. You could do that all day. You can make people smile. I dare you to test it. Test it. Tomorrow, just walk around, look at people, find something that you can compliment about, and compliment them. And don't do it shallow. Do it with some, man. Do it with some authority. And watch what happens. I guarantee you what will happen. Now, you might run into some really hardcore people who you got to stare them in the eye for a minute after you say it. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Or you can conduct the other experiment. You can find something wrong with somebody and just tell them, you know what? Some wax shoes you got on. And watch what happens. You will get what you create with your mouth. What you create with your mouth will have an impact. But you need to understand that the most powerful words are words that come out of your heart. That's why when you sincerely say it, Bernal, I love you. Words that come from the heart have power, because a good man out of the good treasure in his heart is going to bring forth good. So you can take control of any environment by choosing to start speaking life in the environment. Now, when there are multiple people involved, you got to pick your battles. And you got to pick them off one by one. When I first went to work at this one place, I said, okay, I'm about to work this principle. So I would go to the smoker's spot. Because at the smoker spot, a lot of times, that's where people go to complain. No down on smokers, but reality is, I don't care where you work. If you go find where the smoker spot is and go, I guarantee it's a bad conversation going on. I guarantee it. Am I telling the truth or what? You go to that spot and pick them off one by one. Pick them off one by one. Just start complimenting them. Start saying good stuff about them. And one or two of them will get agitated and walk away. And the remaining one, I got them. I can start speaking life over them. Now, go back to Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 16. And I want you to understand this in the context of what we're talking about. You have power in your mouth. And if you understand this principle, you're going to dominate whatever environment you go into. I'm not talking about you just get over. I'm talking about you can dominate any environment. And not dominate the people, you can dominate the environment. Because this is why. Man is created threefold: spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit living in a physical body, and you have a soul that touches the world through your feelings, your emotions, your imagination. So you have these three components to you. Every single person does. The physical body is only the container. And anybody who's had the misfortune or unfortunate situation of seeing someone who's deceased, you look at the body and you know the body's here, but something's missing. What it is, it's the spirit. The spirit's gone. So the real us is not the body, because otherwise, when my spirit is gone, my body will still have something to do. But when my spirit leaves, my body remains lifeless. Why? Because what was alive in me, inside, from the heart, is gone. When the heart is gone, the spirit is gone, there's nothing there. So your power is in your spirit, which is inside, which is what we refer to. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, but the tongue is connected, as Jesus said, to the heart, which is your spirit. So when your spirit is good, you bring forth good out of your spirit. When your spirit is condemned or under condemnation, then you bring forth the condemnation out of your spirit. It comes from the inside. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, if we make the choice to live out of the righteousness of God that's in us, then look at this. Proverbs 18, verse 16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Now, when we say a man's gift makes room for him, if you read commentaries, commentaries have all kinds of conversations about this. But the word gift breaks down into a couple things. The Hebrew word in this case, means a present. A man's present makes room for him. Burnell, I'm picking on you today. Burnell, here are the keys to my car. Thank you. Now, if I give Burnell a car, and I call Burnell tomorrow and say, Burnell, can I come over to your house for dinner? What do you think is going to happen? Is she going to tell me, no, you can't come over for dinner? I gave you a car yesterday. What's going to happen? Yeah, come on over. You're my new friend. You gave me a car. You're my new friend. Why? A gift made room. If you give a gift, it makes room for you. Okay? Now, people can use that in a manipulative way. They give you something in order to get something from you. That's manipulation. That's not what we're talking about. But what we are talking about is that a man's gift, that which you present to other people, makes space for you. When you have abilities, all of us are gifted. If you have an ability, raise your hand, please. That should be everybody. Everybody has some form of ability. If you walked in here, you're able to walk, right? If you said hello, then you're able to talk. Everybody has abilities. Now, once again, if you have an ability, raise your hand. There we go. Now, what's the difference between a gift and an ability? Everybody who was at a leadership meeting last time should know what the answer to this question is. The difference between a gift and an ability is my capacity to do something. A gift is what I actually do for you. It's what I actually give. It's what I actually pour out. So everybody can sing, right? Everybody can sing, right? Would y'all agree with that? Everybody has the ability to sing. Amen? Shower singing, kitchen table singing, in the car singing. How many of y'all can sing? All right, there we go. Y'all getting this thing. That's the ability to sing. Now, then you have the gift. What's the difference between a gift and an ability? Everybody's able. What's the gift? The gift is when you give it to someone else. Now, right setting, every gift is valuable. So a man meets a woman, and he falls in love, and he's going to ask her to marry him. And he decides he's going to sing it to her. He gets on one knee, and he starts singing, I love you. She ain't paying me no attention, see? That's all right, baby. I love you. All right. So he decides he wants to marry. He's going to sing to her. She will say, oh, it was, tell her friends, it was the most beautiful thing. Man, it was beautiful. Why? It was a gift to her because out of the heart, he brought forth something good to her. The same guy tries out for American Idol. He said, man, I sang to my girl, and she just loved it, man. She told all her friends about it, man. I'm going to sing. And so he gets in front of the judges. He's trying to, and they said, oh, no, you can't sing. Oh, but, and he breaks down tears. Oh, man, but I can sing. I blessed her when I sang. See, a gift given out of the heart is a blessing to who it's given to, makes room for you. But a gift that's just thrown out there, just not out of the heart, just thrown just because I have a desire to sing, that's pouring out my abilities. It's not a gift. It becomes a gift when it goes with intention to someone, and it goes with a purpose. And when that gift is given in purpose, it makes room for you. A man's gift will make room for him. Now, let's take it out of that context. Let's put it in something else. You have an ability to do your job at work. So you decide, you know what? Today, I'm going to do my job in a spirit of love. I'm able to do it, but today I'm gonna do it in love. I'm gonna do it out of love for God today. Today I'm gonna sow my gift to God in love. I'm gonna approach my work as though I'm doing it for God, and I'm gonna now give my gift and watch what happens. I guarantee you, if you give your gift in that way, that gift will start to make room. Now, don't do it one time. Do it. Do it. And watch what happens. It will make room for you. Now, what happens if the people don't want to receive the gift? Look at this. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Great men see gifts and appreciate it. Weak men see gifts and get jealous. All right? You listen to what I'm saying? Great men see gifts and appreciate. Weak men see gifts and get jealous. Turn to Proverbs 22. 22 and 29. Proverbs 22 and 29. It says this: do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Do you see a man who excels in his work? Another version of this says, prospers in his business. Do you see somebody who's prospering in his business? What does it mean? It means that you're doing it and you're excelling at what it is you put your hands to do. You will not remain among nameless men. Now, why is this important? It's important because the church has to learn how to begin to prosper with wisdom. To prosper with wisdom means that we embrace the wisdom of God and let the wisdom of God start making spaces for us. Now, if a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men, what happens if a man doesn't have anywhere to put his gifts? That's a powerful thought. What happens is frustration. What happens is a lot of problems. What happens is a lot of issues. That's why poverty is always attached to crime. Because somebody's going to find something to do. And the gift that's sown in the wrong environment will create the wrong thing. I used to do pre-release programs. So I would go into prisons when people were getting ready to get released from prison. We do preparation for people coming out of prison. And so I would meet people all the time, totally full of capabilities, full of abilities, full of abilities. You'd be shocked. You would be shocked how much talent there is inside the walls of a prison. You'll be absolutely shocked by the level of creativity, the level of just intelligence, of just tremendous mind power in the prison. You'll be shocked. There are inventors in the prison. There are business people in the prisons. There are artists in the prison. There's all kinds of people in prison, all kinds of abilities. But for one reason or another, those abilities were sown in the wrong way that led to destruction. Again, because life and death is in the power of the tongue, and a good man out of the good treasure of heart is going to bring forth good. But sometimes people get put in bad situations, and the bad situation causes you to bring forth evil out of your heart. And that evil then brings condemnation. That condemnation leads to other problems. So it is our choice to begin to say out of our mouth, I'm sowing to the good. I'm sowing in a specific way. I'm going to make life come out of my tongue. I'm going to get life in my heart, start pouring out life. And because I do that, I'm going to pick whatever I put my hands to. And I know in faith that if I start to sow and excel, then it's going to cause me to be brought before great people. It's going to cause me to be brought before great people. And guess what? You don't have to know anybody for this to work. You don't have to have any political power whatsoever for this to work. You don't have to have anything except Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you have that and you work not as unto men, but as unto the Lord, you will see God begin to open things up in your behalf. But the biggest problem that we have is not that we're not talented. It's not that we don't have abilities. It is that we don't often know what to do with what we have. Turn to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. Tell your neighbor, say, you got life in your mouth. Lots of life. Matthew 25, verse 14. When you get there, say amen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 says, for the kingdom of heaven is like. Tell your neighbor, say, we're talking about the kingdom. It's like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So the kingdom is like a man who has lots of resources, who then gives it to his servants and then leaves his servants. He's going to take his resources, put it in the hands of his servants, and then walk away. Verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each one according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. He handed each of them something. Okay? Really important here. I want you to key on a couple of things. Number one, he gave one amount to one, another amount to another, another amount to this one. Okay, we're going to break y'all into groups. You guys are the 5 talent. Come on, say 5 talents. You guys are the 2 talents. Say it, 2 talents. You guys are the 1 talent. Say 1 talent. All right. 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Listen close. He gave 1 5 to another 2 and another 1, each one according to what? His own ability. I'm not giving you guys 5 talents based on their abilities. I'm giving you 5 based on your abilities. That means if you got 5, you're able. Say, I'm able. You have 2 talents based on your ability, not based on the 5-talent ability. Say, I'm able. You guys have 1 talent. Not based on their ability or theirs, but on your own ability. Say, I got it. Now say, I got abilities. All right. Look at this equation here. Verse 16. Then he who had received five talents went and traded with them and made another five. Say, now I got 10. All right, come on. You had five, now you got 10. What happened? You traded with it. In other words, you took the five you had and you began using the five. You began trading with the five. You began making things happen with the five that you had. And when you used the five, what happened? You got more, it increased, right? Say, I got 10. Come on now. Now, look at the next verse. Then he who had received, and likewise, he who had received two talents gained two more also. I want y'all to say 100% return. 100% return. Now look at them and say, we got 100% return. Now y'all look at them and say, we got 100% too. Now I'm starting a little war between y'all, right? Given five, was able to get 100-fold return. You had five, you doubled it. You had two, you doubled it. Now you got four. Now, guess what? What you started with is now almost what they had. And anybody over here who had five is starting to get nervous because now if they judged you because you only had two, now you got four. You're right behind them. You're right on them. So anybody over here who had five and didn't use the five is still now only got five when you now have four. And not only do you have four, you now know how to make eight. You understand what I'm saying? When you start exercising what you have, you get a revelation on how to exercise more. So somebody who starts with five can be overtaken by somebody who started with two. Why? Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. Whatever's in my heart, if I know and I use what's in my heart, I can overcome and move up another level. Now we got the ones. Now the ones just observe the five make 10, the two make four. What can they do? They can make two. They can make two and they can be right here, right? And you know if you get here, you can get there. Right? So having one is no excuse for being envious of those that have five. Because if I exercise the one, I can make it five. Am I correct or not? Each one according to his ability, but your ability gets expanded when you use what you have. Now, let's make this real. If you look at your own life, you say, man, all I do well is this. You have a choice. You have a choice. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I can say, this is all I have. I can say, praise God, this is what I got. Praise God for what I got. I'm about to do something with what I have. Man, thank you, Lord, for what I have. Lord, I thank you for wisdom to use what I have. Thank you for giving me wisdom to use and exercise what I have. I'm going to take what I have, and I thank you, Lord. You are the one. Go to Isaiah 48. Keep your finger in Matthew. We're going to come back there. Go to Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Now, this man gave his servants, how many? Five? How many? How many? Okay, five, two, and one. He gave it to him, right? He walked away and didn't give him any instructions at all. He just said, here, do business till I come back. But this is what God says here about you. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to what? Who teaches you to? I want everybody to say it. I'm the Lord who teaches you to? So why are churches nonprofit organizations? Why is the church a nonprofit organization when God says, I'm the one who teaches you to profit? Time to renew our minds. Time to renew our minds. Amen. Live by the word and not by sight. I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Wow. Now, back to Matthew 25. Verse 17. Likewise, who have received two gain two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Now, I want y'all to repeat after me. I am not hiding the Lord's money. See, y'all going to do something different. Y'all going to become twos in a minute, right? But this guy hid the Lord's money. Now, the word talent in this particular passage means a weight of money. It's a weight of money. It's a coin. A talent was a coin. It had a weight, but it represented trade. Okay? So it was kind of the core of their barter system. Not necessarily money with a value for money, but money that represented a trade. It represented something. So I can trade you for this or that. Okay? It was a form of barter. So listen, this one guy decides he's going to bury it in the ground. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came, brought the Lord five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents as well. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the what? The joy of your Lord. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more also. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Very interesting thing that the people from five and the people from two got the same reward from God. See, in the world, envy makes us look at people who have more than us and either hate them or worship them. It's usually one of the two. We got hate on them or we just worship them. Instead of saying, praise the Lord for you, I give thanks for you, now I'm about to do what I got with what I have. Now I'm about to do what I got with what I have. I would love to be a musician. Oh man, I would love to be a musician. But I can't hate on these guys because they can play. Oh man. Tammy used to joke and call me Chimperachi. I got like five little chords I can play, and I would sit down and play them five little chords. I would keep moving them all around, trying to make, and she said, all them songs sound exactly the same. But I can't hate on them, even though I want to do it. I don't have the training. I haven't been trained. So I have to appreciate what they do. I have to appreciate what they do. I have to appreciate that. And I can't sit down and dream about being them while I'm not being me. I got to do what I have. I got to check my pockets and find out what do I have. Because I can dream about their pockets, or I can get in the mind and find out what do I possess. What do I have? What can I honor God with? What can I take of this one talent or two talents or five that I have? And how can I start activating them? Now, look at this. This is about to get crazy right here. Listen to this. This next portion will either make you mad or it will motivate you. Remember, this is an example of the kingdom of God. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Go over to verse 24. Then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was what? I was afraid. I knew I had this one talent, but I was so worried about making a mistake. I know you're a hard man, Lord. I know you have high expectations. I was so scared. I was afraid of making a mistake that I took your money and I buried it in the ground. I was worried about making a mistake. And those guys, they can make a mistake because they got five. If they made a mistake, they still have four. And the people with two, if they made a mistake, they still have one left over. This is all I got. And because I'm scared about making a mistake, I just buried it in the ground so I could give it back to you. Now, here's what you gave me. Now, that sounds very good, doesn't it? Sounds logical. I don't want to mess up what the Lord gave me. He only gave me one, so I don't want to mess it up. So I'm going to hide it, and I'll give it back to him when he calls me back. Verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, this is where, like I said, you're going to get, this is cold-blooded here. You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers at my coming. I would have at least received back my own with interest. Now, here's the cold-blooded one, because this goes against everything we usually think about as human beings. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. Wait a minute. Wait. I had one talent. I had but one. You gave these people all and five of these talents. You gave these people two. You gave me not but one. I'm trying to protect you. I'm going to bury it in the ground. I gave you back what you gave me, and you're calling me wicked and lazy? What? Then you're going to take it out of my hand and give it to the person who doesn't need it? That goes against our mindset. That goes against our mindset. Because our mindset is we should be taking something from this people that got 10 and give it to the ones that got one. That's our mindset. Because that sounds good, right? But God said, I'm the one who teaches you to profit. I'm going to show you the way that you should go. And he says, now, this is how the kingdom works. The kingdom works is I'm giving everybody gifts and talents. I'm giving everybody something to work with. But I'm expecting you to prosper. I'm expecting you to prosper with what you've been given. I'm expecting you to take what you've been given. I'm expecting you to multiply it because I'm the one who's going to teach you how to do it. I'm the one that teaches you to profit and shows you the way that you should go. I'm going to teach you how to profit, but you let me teach you. Look at this, Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Verse 26. We'll go 26 through 28. Genesis 1, verse 26 through 28. Check this out. So y'all ain't there yet. Genesis, the first book of the Bible. All right, here we go. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God's original design includes something. Then God said, let us make man in what? Our image, according to our likeness. God said, I'm going to make man like me. That's deep. I'm going to make man like me in my likeness. Let them, who's them? Man and woman. Let them have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. What is a snake? It's a creeping thing, right? Okay, keep that in mind. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. First, God thought about it. He had it in his heart. And then out of his heart, he did it. First, he had it in his heart. First, he thought about it. He got it in his heart. Then he did it. Okay? He spoke it out. He made it come to pass. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. Blessed means to speak well of. So when I had you guys say something nice to the other person, you were blessing them. See, when I say bless you, you may not know what that means. When I say, I want you and Maurice to prosper every day of your life. Amen. Now, what I do, I blessed her. I'm speaking a blessing over her. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I'm making a choice to bless her, to speak life over her, to speak. So what did God do? We know in Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. What did he do? He spoke out. So what does he do? I made man in my own image. I'm giving man the power to speak. Now, what you speak has to come from the heart. All right? Y'all with me? Verse 28, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every creeping thing that moves on the earth. So God spoke a blessing over them, and then God gave them direction. The direction he gave was threefold. Number one, be fruitful. Tell your neighbor, say, be fruitful. And I'm not just talking about having kids. Tell them, I'm not just talking about having kids. She said, neither am I. Be fruitful and multiply first. Second is fill the earth and subdue it. Fill it and subdue it. Bring it under your control. And last, have dominion. So that's what God speaks. Last passage, Mark chapter 11. We're talking about wisdom. And this is the wisdom of gifts. The wisdom of gifts. God has given us abilities. Those abilities really do never become gifts until we give it to somebody. Your abilities never become a gift until you give it to somebody. And when we give it out of the heart, it increases the level of the gift. When a gift is given out of the heart, it increases the level of the gift. So to understand that if you can give out of the heart, you can increase. Now, a couple of things. We said life and death is in the power of the tongue. The tongue is connected to the heart. Gifts given out of the heart, they expand and they make room for us. The words that come out of our mouth are the words that have power. So Mark 11, verse 24. Let's go to verse 23. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, this is important. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart is going to bring forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure is going to bring forth evil. If there's one thing that will get your heart in an evil place, is unforgiveness. When we get unforgiveness in the heart, when When unforgiveness starts to set up in here, it will taint everything that comes out of you. Unforgiveness in the heart will start to, it will put, just paint a little dab of corruption on everything. Because it's that thing. To appreciate the gift of God, to appreciate what God has done for us through salvation, starts to set us free. And if we can begin to work on that unforgiveness in faith. And so sometimes you got to speak to the unforgiveness, just like it said in here. Because look at what he says in verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. If Jesus says you can move a mountain, do you believe you can move unforgiveness in your heart? Wow. See, we've been trying to use faith for all this stuff outside. We got to start using faith for what's inside. See, when you can start getting that stuff out of our hearts, we start getting that removed, then our gifts are free to flourish. See, our gifts are limited because unforgiveness starts to build a shield around it. It starts to cover you, and the grace that God wants to pour on your life can't break past that mountain of unforgiveness because our faith is not allowing it to work. See, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You've been given the power to speak to the things. So the things that people have done to offend us, or the people that things have done against us, or the people that things that people have done to abuse us or to harm us in any way, we got to start speaking to those things and putting them where they belong, which is under our feet. We got to start speaking. We can't allow someone who did something to me 7 years ago to still have power in my life. Why? When all I have to do is say, Lord, I forgive them, and I'm forgiving them in faith. I don't feel like I'm forgiven. I don't want to forgive them. I don't feel like what they did was right in any way, shape, or form. But because I know life and death is in my own power, I'm speaking to my own heart. I'm telling my own heart, you are going to forgive. Because there's more freedom in my forgiveness than there is in me hanging on to this. When you get that out of the way, you start destroying that stuff. You start getting that out. Your own gifts will start to shine. Your own gifts will start to flourish. You will begin to be able to prosper because there's nothing the enemy can do to hold you back. The word says that anger is a root of bitterness. A root of bitterness that gets into people and it defiles many people. In other words, I'm doing great. I'm moving along. Everything's great. I'm having a great time. Everything's going my way. And then I remember that dirty dog that did this to me. And then I end up stepping 5 steps back. Weeding out that unforgiveness. Getting that thing out of us so that the gifts of God can flourish in our lives. This is the wisdom. This is the wisdom we're talking about. This becomes practical wisdom to be able to be free so that what is in me can flourish. Amen? Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm free today. Hallelujah. I am free today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give your neighbor a high five and let's give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you that this word will continue to prosper. Thank you that it will change, break chains, bring life, bring newness, bring strength. Change this world because we're changed right now. We thank you, Lord, for the grace of God, the power and the strength of God being manifested on us, and we give you the glory and praise for it right now in the name of Jesus.